You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? Don't do it. No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's
going
to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Inside Ben Davis Football here on WBDG. I'm your host, Zion Brown, alongside WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. So, Coach Simmons, I'll start off by asking about the 35-12 loss against Center Grove last Friday. And there were a few chances in the red zone for the Giants where they came away with no points. How critical is it to convert on those opportunities?
Well, you know, I think there's a handful of layers here that went into the result on Friday night, Zion. When you look holistically across the board, we told our guys Wednesday and Thursday that, you know, there were three things that were going to decide the outcome of this game on Friday, and it was going to be big plays, it was going to be turnovers, and it was going to be field position. When you look at football games, you know, especially games that are rivalry games like this one was, and you get an opportunity to play the number one team in the state of Indiana. And it's a team that obviously we saw twice last year, once in the semi-state, once in week four. And so, you know, it was an opponent that was a known for us. Then we come out on that first possession and we throw an interception, give him the ball at the 28-yard line, come out on the next possession, give him the ball at the minus 46 after an interception, and then we go three and out, punt it, and we give him the football at the 30-yard line. And in the first 8 minutes of the game, they have three possessions that start within 54 yards of the goal line. And you know, when you talk about big plays, you talk about field position, you talk about turnovers, we lost that battle in the first quarter, and you know, it was an uphill fight from there. And you know, we had two different drives inside the 20, stall out on downs, certainly could have changed the complexion of the first half a little bit. When we did win field position, you know, they get a 60-yard run to punch it out and to flip the field on us. They ultimately scored on that too. So, you know, it wasn't a huge secret. You know, when you watch them and you prepare for them and you watch them on film, they won games early in the year, just being patient, taking what teams gave them, winning the battle of field position, winning the battle of big plays, winning the battle of turnovers. And, you know, it was no different for them on Friday night here. And, you know, it's a life lesson for our football team. And, you know, we talked about it Saturday morning with our guys. The film confirmed exactly what we told them was going to happen Wednesday and Thursday. And those three areas were going to have an impact on the football game. And, you know, we got to take the opportunity for experience that we got last Friday and spend it ahead this week and show that we've learned a lesson as we head across town and play Warren.
You talk about Center Grove, and now that is the team you've already played, the number two team in the state in the polls. So your schedule is setting you up to be better later on in the season. So as a measuring stick, when do you think these early season bumps that you're getting playing such a tough schedule, how do you think that's going to pay off for you as the season moves on?
You know, I think it's only going to pay dividends for us if we're willing to take those life lessons and continue to grow and get better from them. You know, when you turn the film on, it's easy to say, well, you lost 35-12. There's not going to be anything good on that film. And I don't think that's the case. You know, I think when you play a team like Center Grove, you're going to find out really quickly who can play and who can't for you. We felt like we found some of that out. Felt like our guys competed. You know, we were in a similar situation in week one when you think about it. You know, we turned the ball over early. We fell behind early because of field position, because of turnovers, because of big plays. And you know, I felt like our guys just the willingness to go compete in week one just didn't carry through for four quarters. I felt like our football team was certainly different, you know, and our guys went and played hard final three quarters of the game. And so, you know, for us, you know, I think that showed growth a little bit. We were able to play some guys and find out, you know, where they stand in terms of being Friday night guys. And And, you know, we have another week's worth of experience against a top opponent. And so when you look at all of that and you look at what lies ahead on our schedule, you know, we got to continue to stay in work mode and not get caught up in the results of it and just continue to get better. You know, we're a week stronger in the weight room. We're a week better on the practice field. We got another week's worth of game experience. And so we got to continue to build and compete. And, you know, we as coaches have to do a great job putting our kids in a position to have success on Friday.
Your starting running back, Brandon Fuentes, had just 3 carries for no yards against the Trojans. What made you guys shy away from the running game on Friday night?
Well, when you look at those first couple of possessions, we never established a rhythm offensively. You know, the second play we ran from scrimmage was an interception. Come out the very first play on the next possession was an interception. And then we come out and go 3 and out. And so it's hard to get into a rhythm, you know. And then when you get down on the scoreboard, you keep looking at the board and you're down. You feel like you got to spend it a little bit more. I think there were a couple of different layers that went into that, Zion. You know, I think some of it was we felt like we had to be calculated in the run game, and part of that was due to their defensive front four. Part of it was we just never got into a rhythm, fell behind early, and felt like we had to push the ball down the field a little bit to try and have scoring opportunities.
Offensively, Coach, showed some good signs, especially there. Later on in the game in the fourth quarter, Rylan Richardson again with the long touchdown. Talk a little bit about his growth, if I can talk a little bit about his growth this season.
Yeah, you know, he's a young man. When we came back in July, we felt really excited about where he was. He had obviously put a lot of work in over the quarantine, had done some good things, felt like he could bring a different element to our offense, and then he got an ankle and was down for about 3 weeks. And so it was, you know, we just kind of, you know, you watch him and it's like, okay, he's a little bit better. But, you know, when you're a guy that can go knock the top off and that can do some things with your feet and your speed, then you got to feel right, you know. And those first couple weeks of the year, we were getting him back and trying to get him into game shape, get him ready to go and just find opportunities for him. And, obviously he had another good night on Friday. He's a guy that just continues to get better. But, you know, he gets better because he practices hard. He makes plays in practice. And that transfers to Friday. And we're just trying to get all of our guys that understanding that what you do Monday through Thursday is going to be a catalyst for you then on Friday. And you know, so far, you know, through the first 2 weeks, you know, we've had some growth opportunities here, gotten a little bit better as a football team. And Rylan is certainly one of those guys that we look at week in and week out, that he's one of those guys we can look at and say he plays like he practices. And so, you know, we need that leadership from a senior. We need that big playability from a guy who can bring that right now.
The Giants got off to another poor start on Friday. So what things can you try to work on to come out of the gate strong?
Yeah, you know, I think there's several layers to it. When you look at our 4 games, we've only started fast one time, and so much of it is, you know, where our focus is during pregame, where our focus is at during the day, what's our preparation led us to during practice, how did we practice? You know, I think there's so many layers to answer that question, Zion, and we've been inconsistent, which has led to inconsistent starts. And so trying to get our guys, trying to connect those dots with our players to get them to understand that what you do during the week is going to set you up for success or set you up to be a slow starter on Friday. So we got to continue to grow and mature in that area. We feel like we've done some things in practice this week that are a little bit different right out of the gate. We'll see if those help us. And so much of it is, you know, you got to be willing to go take the field and compete and force something good to happen early. You can't sit around and wait on something good to happen. And so some of it's just a mindset piece, and trying to connect the heads and hearts of our players right before they go take the field is something that's going to be important for us on Friday.
In the current pandemic situation, obviously you've had reduced fan numbers. And we talked a little bit about this, I think, early on, maybe the first show we did, about how different the atmosphere is going out and playing Friday night. Has that had any effect, do you believe, on the way the team comes out?
I don't get that sense. You know, I really don't get that sense from our guys. I could be wrong. I just feel like I think there's some other things that have kind of set us up. You know, we were at Pike. I felt like we were a different team getting off the bus. More importantly, I felt like we were a different team when they showed up to school. You know, there's just something about these guys that you can get a feel for pretty quickly. Didn't necessarily see it Friday, you know. And so, like, it, there's so much to it. And, you know, God love all of us. You know, we're working with teenagers. And sometimes that can be really good, and sometimes it can be, it can lead us to kind of pull our hair out a little bit. But, we got to continue to grow our guys and give them opportunities to grow, and that's certainly what our goal is this week.
You talked about how going into the Pike game, you felt like the team felt different, you know, getting to school. And how much do you think that has affected your team overall, this hybrid schedule where on game day you don't even see your team until they arrive to the field house at 3:30?
Yeah, I think it's had a huge impact on us. You know, I think it's a great question because we're all trying to navigate and find our way, and you know, so much of it is just trying to establish a daily routine. You know, and I think that's, you know, we've done some things differently this week as a coaching staff with our players. We've been a lot more intentional with our communication starting with Sunday afternoon. You know, just in terms of here's the schedule for the week. Let's just make sure we're ready to go. And Monday, here's our communication checklist as a coaching staff. Tuesday, here's our communication checklist. Wednesday, here's our communication checklist. So, you know, we're certainly taking a higher level of ownership and forcing some of that accountability back on our players this week. And you know, I think what it speaks to, Zion, is exactly kind of what you saw when you came with us in that behind the scenes night with the Pike game is, you know, we were a little bit different. You know, I remember standing in the hall talking to you about it. We talked to a couple other coaches about it. And so, you know, how can we establish a routine, live in that routine, and continue to grow value from just a simple routine in our daily world that has our guys locked in by the time they get to 3:30.
Coach, you are in exactly the same situation you were last year, coming into the Warren Central game. And, of course, we'll talk about that more in the second part of the show. But how much is reminding this team to stay locked in, stay focused? Because, you know, you had a great season, a great finish to the season last year. So how much do you have to keep reminding them that?
You know, I think when you do this long enough, you really got to get a sense of how can we hit the right buttons with this group. And, you know, a year ago, we were able to identify some very specific details within the flow of games that was causing us some issues early in the season. We started to address some of those, verbalize some of those. We feel like we've done that with this group as the first 4 weeks have unfolded. You know, you start to identify things that have happened, and we fixed a couple of things, got a little bit better in some areas. We fixed a couple of more, got a little bit better in some areas. And, you know, now we're trying to put the finishing touches on, we feel like, what could be the next couple of missing links for us to try and connect the dots. So I think every team is different. And so much of the reason I say that is just because your level of player ownership and your level of player leadership is different on every team. Your seniors are all going to act a little bit different, you know, and you may have a class that's extremely vocal. You may have a class that doesn't really say much, but they're great leaders by example. You may have classes that are somewhere in between. And, you know, I feel like we have a class right now that's somewhere in between there. You know, we got some guys that are vocal. We got some guys that are just lunch pail guys. You take a guy like Romel Williams, you're not going to hear Romel say a whole lot during the course of a practice, but there aren't very many guys on our team taking more reps than Romel in practice. And so, you know, he's constantly working on his craft. And you take a guy like Dalen Carnell, who is really starting to emerge. Well, as he's emerged over the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden you start to hear his voice more, and his voice is starting to command, his voice is starting to coach guys, his voice is starting to be heard in the secondary. And now those guys are starting to play a little bit better, you know. And so it's, you know, we're evolving, you know what I mean? And it's not, certainly not at the pace that we want. It's not at the pace that this program expects. But, you know, it's at the pace that we're going at right now. And we have to take it one day at a time. We have to continue to work to get better day in and day out. And that's been our focus. And we feel like we've done that. And as a coaching staff, we've done a really good job of identifying areas that we need to address and ebb and flow with. And we have so much experience on our staff that we've just kind of ebbed and flowed as the year has gone on, trying to find the right mix and the right buttons to push.
All right, that will wrap up our first segment here discussing last week's game against Center Grove. When we come back, we will discuss the Circle City Showdown coming up this Friday. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football on WBDG.
It's been said the night is always darkest just before the dawn. Maybe you can relate right now. But make no mistake about it, a new day is dawning. Opportunity and promise are on the horizon for all of us. And just like in high school sports, we'll trust honesty, empathy, hard work, and humility to bring out the best in us and show us the way. The IHSAA. We'll look for you at a high school game or meet very soon.
On Inside Ben Davis Football here, I'm Zion Brown with John Easter and Jason Simmons. And going in to this last segment, we will discuss the Warren Central Warriors and the Giants game against them on Friday night. Warren is coming off a whopping 40-0 victory at home against Lawrence Central. So, Coach Simmons, this Warriors defense has 13 sacks in just three games so far this year. How big will the Giants O-line have to play this week, and how does facing such a great pass rush limit your offensive play calling?
Well, you know, if you go back to Friday, you know, those first two interceptions, it's really easy to point the finger at Juwan and say it was all on Juwan and it was on pass protection. We had two blown pass protection mistakes that were extremely costly. You just can't do it, you know. And so for us, you know, we've evaluated, you know, where we were at Friday night. We evaluated it Friday night as a staff. We evaluated it Saturday. Watch film with our guys on Saturday and feel like we've got those issues addressed going into Monday's practice yesterday and today. And, you know, so much of it is, you know, we have to go execute at a higher level because we have that higher level within us to go execute at. You know, the first interception was just was a bad takeoff, bad pass set. Second interception was a lack of edge awareness. You know, you can coach takeoff, you can coach pass set, you can coach edge awareness, and that was the, you know, as much as you don't want to turn the ball over and have bad protections, you know, you still got to look at it and say, is the problem a coachable, fixable problem with more reps, or is it an issue of personnel? If it's personnel, you got to find somebody else. If it's coachable and fixable, then you better go to work and get coaching and get fixing, you know. And so for us, we have to make sure that we're sound in pass protection. We have to make sure we pick up pressure from the inside linebackers especially. We have to make sure that we have our guys in the best possible matchups to have success. With all that being said, not only is their pass rush good, but their secondary is talented. Secondary does a good job of understanding the zone principles that they play with. They do a good job of mixing man and zone coverage. Their secondary can run. They're long. They're active players. And so, you know, I think when you look at the defensive challenge that Warren's going to present, they've played three games this year, and I don't believe they've given up over 250 yards in any of those games. And so, you know, we're going to have our hands full. We told our kids on Saturday that every yard you get on Friday is going to be a fist fight. Every yard you get probably any Friday the rest of the way is going to be a fist fight. And so we have to go execute at a high level. We have to make sure that we're in the right matchups for our guys. We got to make sure that we're ready to win those matchups when they're presented to us on Friday.
When you look at the Warren Central Ben Davis rivalry, Warren is really at times had the Giants number, and you know, it was something that your predecessor Coach Kirshner and I would often talk both on and off the air about, is that Warren Central just seemed to have Ben Davis's number. It really didn't matter how good the Giants were going into the game or how good Warren Central was going into the game. Whenever this game would come up, the Giants would just seem to almost lay an egg in this one. And last year, obviously, that did not happen, thankfully, for the Giants. Even your first year in the sectional, you guys came out and played Warren Central very well. So I guess having been a part of several of these now, these Circle City Showdowns, both as an assistant, as the assistant athletic director, and as now the head coach, what is it about Warren that they just seem to be able to solve the Giants at times?
Yeah, I think so much of it is just matchups, you know. I probably my favorite year in this rivalry was 2008. You know, it was a year that we played them twice. We went over there in the regular season, just didn't execute well early, and I think it had a lot to do with their energy and their juice. They're a group that's extremely aggressive. They do a really good job getting their guys to play downhill and to play with a lot of confidence. And so if you're feeling your way or hoping for success early, you're going to get ran over by them. And then you're in full recovery mode, and that shark smell and the blood in the water. And so you have to go force success, you know. And the way you force success isn't trying to do something outside of your own job, isn't trying to do something that's out of care emotionally. It's making sure that you have laser focus, making sure you clearly understand the responsibilities of your job, and then go execute at a really high level. You know, when you go back to a year ago, we're 1-3. Everybody had written us off, and we're playing the number one team in the state of Indiana at home. We had no chance. We're sitting here a year ago. We had no chance. And it was like, you know, I just told our guys, like, you're the better of the two teams. Yeah. You can throw the records out the window, okay? They were 4-0. We were 1-3. I'm just telling you, you turn the film on, put the two teams side by side, and I really felt like we were the better of the two teams. The question is, which one of our teams was going to show up a year ago? Was it going to be the team that had a 5-6 minute lapse in the game that was just an absolute dagger that knocked us out of games? Or was it going to be a group that was willing just to go compete and play as hard as they could for the very next play? That's it. Just take the very next play, one play at a time. And that was our whole mindset going into that game. We had some early success, but if you also remember, we had two drives down in the red zone. We got 0 points out of it. You know, we threw an interception down there, should have kicked a field goal and didn't. It almost cost us at the end. But we got to halftime, and we told our guys, listen, you just outgained them by 150 yards. Like, you were the more physical of the two teams. You were the better of the two teams, okay? You got to finish. Then we come out, start the second half. We fumble. They pick it up, running back for a touchdown. And our defense had dominated that entire game. And here we were late in the game, just in a fistfight slugfest. And those things are going to happen in this game if you're willing to go compete and force good things to happen, you know? And so it's part of it's just a mindset. How are we going to handle the bus ride? How are we going to get off the bus? And are we going to hope, or are we going to drive? If we're going to drive, now let's go. You know, now let's go. If we're going to hope for something to happen, ooh, you better hold on to your rear end, because you just don't know at that point. You just don't know. And so you're leaving it to chance. And we can't leave anything to chance. We can't leave anything to chance. And that's every week on our schedule. And our guys are starting to understand it. They're starting to realize, like, yeah, maybe our coaching staff is onto something here. Like, we can't leave things to chance. You know, you can't come out and you can't give Center Grove the ball at the plus 28, minus 46, and plus 30 and think, man, we got chances. Like, ooh, you're going to have your hands full doing that, right? It's just not good football. And so we got to go out and give our chance. We got to give ourselves a chance to play good football, and we have to go force something good to happen early. And you do that not by getting outside of your own sandbox, but having laser focus, executing what your job is, and having a willingness to do it, play in and play out with maximum effort. You do that. Let's go. Let's get on the bus. Let's go across town and let's roll. Let's go see where this thing goes, because this is a great football rivalry to be a part of. You know, I've been fortunate to be a part of Roncalli-Chittard. I've been fortunate to be a part of, you know, Miami of Ohio, Cincinnati. You know, I've been a part of great historic rivalries in my lifetime, and this might be number one. And that's no offense to the Roncalli people, the Roncalli and Chittard rivalry, but I'm just telling you, this rivalry is special. It's a lot of fun. And if you go in there and you get caught up in the emotion of it, yeah, you're probably not going to have success. But if you go in there with a plan and you go in there to force something good to happen like we did in 2008 when we went back there in the regional, you know, you may have success, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we got to have a plan. We got to execute it. We got to get off the bus, ready to roll.
This Warren defense has also forced 8 turnovers already in the year. So how big of a factor will protecting the ball play on Friday?
Well, if we haven't learned that protecting the ball is important, Zion in the first four games, and then I'm not sure what else I can do, buddy. You know, we turned it over three times against Brownsburg, and that put us in a hole. Turned it over twice against Avon, once on downs, put us in a hole. Turned it over twice on Friday, put us in a hole. The third turnover on Friday took a scoring opportunity away. So, you know, we have to value the football. The part of the turnovers that they force is because of how aggressive they are at getting hats to the football. You turn the film on and watch them. It's a fun defense to watch. Not a fun defense to prepare for, but Coach West and Coach Mann have those guys rolling. They're playing as hard as any Warren defense that you're going to see. And you can force something good to happen when you get hats to the football and you're aggressive like they are.
What makes this rivalry? I know you said that, you know, the historic nature of it. Obviously, in 84 seasons now, this is 84th season of Ben Davis football. 83 seasons of those, Warren Central's been on the regular season schedule. And in the 1 year that they weren't, they played in the sectional. That was Coach Dullahan's first season here at Ben Davis. Then they came back on the regular season schedule after that. So they've played the Giants every year since 1937. Going back, this will be the next meeting of the two teams. And, you know, you could go back and you can look at the history of it, as I've been doing over the last few weeks. When you look at games, they often do come down to what we've talked about here. Now, certainly there are games that haven't, and right, we've been a part of some of those. Yep. But it does seem like a couple, maybe 3 years ago, Ben Davis goes over, tough, tight game, interception late, and the Giants lose the game right at the goal line, had a chance, and just a thrown interception. Or last year, Warren Central, you think they've blocked the field goal, and their entire field or entire team rushes onto the field while the ball is live still, and there's a penalty, and you get a second chance, boom, you hit it. Then the turnover that they make in the double overtime period sets you guys up and gives you an opportunity to win. So besides the gameplay, what makes this rivalry, what gives it that extra juice?
Well, yeah, I think when you look at the history of this rivalry and you look at the players that have played in this game, you look at the coaches that have played in this game, you look at the evolution of the two communities too, and you look at how important Ben Davis High School is in Wayne Township and the West Side community. You look at how important Warren Central is to Warren Township and to the East Side community. And you have a lot of prideful people. You have prideful people that are ready to plant their flag, you know. And so, you know, there's so much when you get into rivalry situations, the amount of pride that the school, the community, and that the area takes in their football program often drives what that rivalry is going to feel like and be like. And, you know, I think this is no exception. When you look at two programs that have 9 state championships, you look at the Hall of Fame coaches that have been a part of this, you know, you look at the Hall of Fame, you look at the NFL players, the college players, you look at all the different people that have been a part of this rivalry, and you can look in every facet of it, whether it's, you know, administrators that have been at buildings for a long time, whether it's players, coaches, you know, what you name it. You have two elite programs that encompass, you know, their own area, their own township, that have the support of their township, have the support of their community. And it's two prideful areas, and you know, it's the East Side and the West Side, you know. And I from the very first time I played in this, you know, I was a part of this, but I was a part of it in 2006. It's just different, you know. It's different, and I've learned every year that I've been a part of it. Every game that I've been a part of it, I've learned something. And there's a ton of emotion, you know. Again, I go back 2008. We went over there in the regular season, took one on the chin, but we used part of that game as, you know, just to get a feel for them. And we walked out of that game, turned the film on the next morning. It was like, there's no way we're losing when we see them again. And we knew we were going to see them in the regional. They were going to win their sectional. We felt like we were going to win our sectional. Not to dismiss anybody else, but we felt like that was a matchup that was coming. And we knew when we went there in 2008, at least from an offensive perspective, we knew exactly what we were going to do. We knew exactly where they were going to be. Coached it up all week, and we went there and had a ton of success offensively. And so, like, there's just it's just got a little extra juice. It's just got a little extra juice, and I think so much of it has to do with the pride in the communities, the pride in the townships, and the pride in the people that have been a part of this rivalry over the years.
Lastly here, what do you think are the overall keys in the Giants to getting the W on Friday?
Well, we're going to start with good football, right? So good football is taking care of the ball and winning the turnover battle. Good football is winning the battle of field position, whether that's flipping the field with special teams, whether it's execution, whether it's whatever it may be, whether it's tackling a returner and not giving him 32 extra yards on a return, whatever that may be to help us win the battle of field position. So you got to win the battle of turnovers, you got to win the battle of field positions, and you got to make more big plays. And we had opportunities to make them last week and did not. Had opportunities to prevent them and did not. And so those three things, I think, are priority number one for us, because those are just smart football things. Like, you do those three things, it's just smart football. You're going to give yourself a chance to win every game if you're playing as hard as you can. And we have to force something good to happen early. You know, we got to have a jolt early. We got to have some energy early. And in order to do that, we have to have a laser focus. We have to make sure that we're locked in on what our responsibility is, and we got to go execute at a high level with maximum effort. So you come into these games, and they're really not fancy. They're just old school tough football, and we need to be ready to play old school tough football.
All right, thank you, Coach. Do not forget to tune in on Friday night with the pregame starting at 6:15 and the kickoff around 7 o'clock. Jackson White and myself, Zion, on the call. Thanks to Coach Simmons and John Easter for joining me tonight. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football on WBDG.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.